The Gospel according to John, chapter 12, and verse 20. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. We would see Jesus. Let me make a request of someone who prints. I want somebody to just print that one part of that verse for me, because I want to tack it on my pulpit desk where I can see it every time I preach. We would see Jesus. One of the earliest church fathers once said, and I quote, if the highest heavens were my pulpit and all the earth were my parish, Jesus alone would be my text. Ladies and gentlemen, that's how I feel this morning. If I had the ability to speak in a multitude of tongues and languages, if I had the ears of the people of the nations of earth, I would have but one message: Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I shall never forget the day that I was ordained to the gospel ministry. A seasoned pastor brought the charge, delivered the charge to me as a young preacher more than 20 years ago. And the thing that I remember most, and it was a long afternoon, folks, of questioning and grilling and questioning and reading of the Bible and men praying and then an extended sermon. But the thing that I remember most was one admonition: preach the word. And from that day until this, I have tried to do precisely that, because I believe that it is incumbent upon me as a minister of the gospel to preach the word. In these 20 years since I was, more than 20 years since I was ordained, it has been my privilege to assist in the ordination of a multitude of young men. In the last 5 years, just the last five, I have preached 20 charges to young preachers in ordination services. And I have reminded them that there were a multitude of things for them to do in their ministry. I have pointed out that it was for them to counsel the confused, to marry the living, to bury the dead, to help the infirm and the needy and the troubled. But I have tried to underscore one thing: preach the word. In the beginning was the word, Christ. They that were scattered abroad went everywhere, preaching the word. Now I'm given to understand that in both places, in the book of Acts, as well as in the gospel according to John, that in the original Greek in which the New Testament was written, that both of those words, word, in both places, should begin with a capital letter. Because both of them are references to Christ, the living Word. In the beginning was the Word. They that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the Word. The same thing is true with 2 Timothy chapter 4. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and at his kingdom, preach the word. And this is my high and holy task. And I refer you back to my text. We would see Jesus. I feel, I believe today, somewhat like the Apostle Paul must have felt when he wrote to the church at Corinth, I am determined to know nothing among you save Christ and him crucified. I feel somewhat like Paul must have felt when he said, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Christ's sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We preach Christ. Sir, we would see Jesus. I want you to see him. I want you to see him as a babe in the manger. The God-man, the eternal Word, wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And then we turn the camera to see a man on the cross, the Son of God for sinners slain, bearing your sins and mine in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. I turn the camera to the new-made tomb, lifeless, cold in death. There he is. But comes the glorious morning of the third day, and the tomb is empty, and the Savior is risen, and he lives. As I could turn the camera toward heaven today, we would see him seated at the right hand of God to make intercession for us and to await the grand and glorious moment when he shall split the eastern sky, and in rapturous glory he shall come to take out of the world his own. Sir, we would see Jesus. My message is entitled simply, We Would See Jesus. I call to your attention first that Moses saw him in the blaze of a burning bush. The story is in Exodus 3. For 400 years, Israel has been in bondage in Egypt. But their cry has not gone unheard and unheeded. And God, who is long-suffering to all men, has not forgotten his promise to Abraham that he would raise up in the fourth generation a deliverer. And so upon a day, Moses was on the backside of the desert, keeping sheep. And there was all of a sudden a glowing, burning bush. Is there anything unusual about a burning bush in the hot and dry and dusty desert? Not really, except here was a bush that burned and was not consumed. Moses had seen many burning bushes, but this was different. Moses said, I must turn aside and see what this thing is. A bush that burns and is yet not consumed. The Bible says that Moses saw the angel of the Lord in that burning bush. And the Lord spake to Moses out of the flame of the fire. And God said to Moses, Moses, take off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the ground upon which thou standest is holy ground. My friend, God makes every spot on this earth a holy spot. Wherever there is the presence of God on the backside of a desert or in a cathedral, it is holy ground. As sure as I stand before you in this pulpit today, I believe that Moses saw the pre-incarnate Christ. The Bible said that he could not look upon him, so he hid his face from it. Oh, if I could get us to see today that Moses saw him in the burning bush, and Moses was never the same. If by the eye of faith you will look upon him today, you will never be the same. Sir, we would see Jesus. You can see him by the eye of faith. You can see him as the Savior dying for you. You can see him living and reigning and coming again. Because it's all about one thing. My text, we would see Jesus. Secondly, Isaiah the prophet saw him on a throne in the temple at Jerusalem. I read it in the 6th chapter of the book of Isaiah. And the book opened, the chapter opens like this. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord. King Uzziah reigned for 50 years in Judah. In the year 740 BC, he died. And Isaiah said, in that same year, I saw Jesus. Do you believe that Isaiah saw the Christ? I do. The pre-incarnate Son of God. Isaiah said that he was high and holy and lifted up above all of the temple, for his glory did fill the temple. Note with me, there was a vacant throne, and there was an occupied throne. The throne of the king of Judah was vacant. Uzziah was dead. But the throne of the king of kings was occupied. I read in the Revelation, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, and have the keys of hell and of death. In the 20th chapter, 19th chapter of the Revelation, John says, and upon his vesture there was a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, alive, forever alive, never to die. He has already conquered death, and he has conquered death for us. And he says to us, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. I am not speaking of a dead Christ on a crucifix. I'm speaking of a living Lord in heaven, forever reigning at the right hand of God. Isaiah saw an empty throne, and he saw an occupied throne. The king of the earth is dead, but the king of glory is alive. And above the throne, the seraphim. And each one of them had six wings. With two of their wings, they covered their face, speaking of their unworthiness to look upon the glory of Christ. With two of them, they covered their feet, speaking of humility in the presence of God. And with two of them, they did fly, serving the King of Kings. And they cried one to another, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of the earth, of heaven, of past, of present, of future. Why did they say three times holy? Because our God is a thrice holy God. God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. And I would today that out of our hearts would go that acclamation of praise. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. I saw the Lord. No wonder Isaiah said, woe is me. Woe is me. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Isaiah saw him on a throne, high and lifted up in the temple. Let's span the ages from Isaiah's time to the time of John the beloved apostle. John being an aged man, about 95 or perhaps 100 years old. And he writes the book of the Revelation. He is removed from Moses by 1,500 years. He is removed from Isaiah by 850 years. And the Bible says in the Revelation chapter 1, I, John, was on the Isle of Patmos. John, what on earth are you doing on the Isle of Patmos? Why aren't you over at Ephesus pastoring your church? Because of the testimony of the Lord. John had been banished to the Isle of Patmos as a prisoner, as an exile, by Domitian, the Caesar at Rome. And offshore, on the island, an aging man with whose heart longed to be with his people. But yet God had a purpose in it. My friend, if you find yourself on an Isle of Patmos in your Christian experience, surely God has a purpose in it. For on the Isle of Patmos, John received a revelation. John says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Now, he was not in any. He was not, I repeat, he was not caught up in any great emotional frenzy. He did not speak in any unknown tongue, which is not an evidence of the Holy Spirit's presence. But John was on the Isle of Patmos on the Lord's day, in the Spirit, on the first day of the week. And I heard a voice behind me that sounded like a trumpet. And I turned to see. And what did John see? He saw the living Christ. The last time John had seen him was when he went away from the Mount of Olives. It has been 60 long years or more. But now John sees him again. And John says the hair of his head was like snow, like wool, white as snow. Ancient of Days, Alpha and Omega, beginning and end, first and last. John says that his eyes were like a flame of fire. Out of his mouth proceeded a sharp, two-edged sword, his word. And his feet were like fine brass that were afire. And he had girt about his paps a golden girdle that reached all the way to his feet. This is the high priestly Christ. And John says, I saw among the candlesticks Christ. And in his hand were seven stars. And I fell at his feet. Why all of this? Because John was seeing Christ among the candlesticks on the Isle of Patmos, that he might write to us the revelation of the Son of God. What meaneth the candlesticks? Why, the candlesticks are the seven churches of Asia. What meaneth the seven stars? The seven stars are the angels or messengers, in our terminology, the pastors of the seven churches in Asia. Do you get that picture? Jesus is walking among the churches, and in his hand are the pastors of those churches. And it was too much for John. And he fell before him on his face. And Jesus said, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of hell and death. John saw him among the candlesticks on the Isle of Patmos. You may see him today by the eye of faith, seated at the right hand of God. For he is there to answer your prayer, to make intercession for you. I would that I were an artist, or that I could speak with words that would convey the message to you today, the message of the words of my text. We would see Jesus, the one whom you need to see today is Christ. You don't need to see the pastor. This is earthen vessel. You don't need to see the priest or the pope. You need to see the Savior, the Christ of God. We would see Jesus. I have a footnote and then I'm through. Not only did Moses see him in the blaze of a burning bush, not only did Isaiah see him on a throne in the temple in Jerusalem, not only did John, the beloved apostle, see him among the candlesticks on the Isle of Patmos, but one day we shall all see him coming again in clouds of glory. Did he not say, "Hereafter you shall see the Son of Man coming with great clouds of glory"? I'm not looking for the undertaker, I'm looking for the uptaker. I'm not looking for the political bosses, I'm looking for the King of Kings. I'm not looking to Wall Street, I'm looking to Christ. I'm not looking to military might, I'm looking to the saving power of Jesus. I'm not looking for the Antichrist, I'm looking for the Christ of glory to come. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. For one day, we shall all see him coming again in clouds of glory. Oh, Lord Jesus, how long ere we shout the glad song. Christ returneth, hallelujah, hallelujah, amen. Let us stand.